Stacy's threesome.
What's up, everyone? It's the Threesome Podcast with Lex and Stacy, edition number 12.
12.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I know you keep track of all that, so I took a big guess and won. Yeah.
Woo.
Completely unlike my weekend in Vegas.
So do we get to hear about it, or
oh, yeah.
Do things stay in Vegas?
No, there was nothing to stay there this time. It was kind of a fucked up weekend.
Did you go alone?
No, I went with Lisa.
And, okay.
We were invited to see Sammy Hagar.
Nice.
Who I love. Sammy's just awesome. And it was like a sound check thing, but I was supposed to interview him and get some drops for the show and for us and everything. Mm-hmm. And everything went haywire, and I got nowhere near him.
Really? Don't you hate that?
Yeah. And the thing that sucks is I couldn't get his attention because I know him. I've interviewed him two or three times, and he and I kind of bonded during the Van Halen for Unlawful Carnal Knowledge world release party we did with Album Network.
Right.
And, you know, it's like I've seen him a couple times since. He's remembered my name and what I look like and all that stuff. So I'm like, all I got to do is get him to see me, and we're good.
Right.
But I couldn't. So, I didn't pitch a bitch or anything because that company flew us out there, you know, and we're going to do some more of these things with them with winners. So, it was just something I wanted to see how it went. And
so, your listeners have a lot to look forward to.
Well, I mean, for a listener thing, it's cool. For a radio snob like me, it sucked.
Right.
You know, but they got to go in and see a sound check with Michael Anthony, him, and Joe Satriani that was quite awesome.
Cool.
Because bands don't really do sound checks anymore.
I mean, one I was at was Queensryche.
Yeah, and they don't go out there for those anymore. You know, the techs can take care of those now.
Right.
They really don't need to be there.
It was the old Saginaw Civic Center in Saginaw, Michigan, and I was in the way, way back because it's a hockey arena. Right,
Queensryche, tonight at the Saginaw War Memorial.
And he came out without mics on and was warming his voice up. He was filling that little arena.
Yeah.
It was like, wow, that's a powerful voice.
Yeah, he's got a great voice. He really does. Silent Lucidity was a great fucking song.
Yes.
It really was.
Yes, yes.
Operation Mindcrime, great album. I love that stuff.
This was, forgive me, it's been like 20 years. It was the album after Empire. And it was like when they went on tour, it was a little, I guess, yeah. It was a little like, their concert was in like a little operetta. It told a story. There were scenes and things. They got all artsy with it.
I remember that.
Yeah, and I had to be on stage. There was like a bar scene, so I got to be one of the patrons of the bar.
Oh, that's cool.
It was. I was scared to death.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Don't fall off stage, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you and a bar stool, that's trouble. But, yeah, I mean, it was real cool. But first off, this had me going sideways from the beginning. They flew us out on Saturday instead of Friday.
Why?
I don't know. So I left at, you know, like 6 in the morning from Dallas, which means I had to get up at 4.
Yeah.
And same thing coming back on Sunday. So, you know, we just decided we were going to get there, get to the bar, and watch the Oklahoma game because she's an Oklahoma Sooner nut.
Right.
You know, so this whole time they're playing Kansas State, good team and everything. I'm like, oh, God, please win. Please win. Just win. You know, so I'm not dealing because she's so shitty when they lose. Oh, my God. Which I'm getting to the good part here. So the game's like 31-30. Oklahoma, you know, goes in for the touchdown. All they got to do is kick the extra point to tie the game up with a minute or two left. You know, it's just a great fucking game. And the kicker, who's like money all the time, misses the extra point. And she turns to me and she says, I knew I shouldn't have come here.
And you're like, well, there goes the weekend.
And then I went, yeah. Yeah, I probably would have said the same thing if it was the Gators. But it's not. So we're in Vegas. Come on, man. Let's go see Sammy. Let's have some fun. She goes, I don't want to. She goes, we're not in our room yet. I can't even put makeup on. I'm not going to meet Sammy Hagar looking like this. And I went, you look fantastic. She goes, no, I don't. Shut the fuck up. She never
talks. You know better.
She never talks to me like that, except unless Oklahoma loses. You have no idea what a huge Oklahoma fan I've become just to keep peace.
You're a good man.
Yeah. So we're walking down towards the registration thing to see if they'll give us our room. And this guy jumps out at us from the information center and says, do you two have a... And before he gets any more out, she turns around like the Exorcist and goes, no!
Admit it, did you shit a little bit? Did you go, wow?
No, I laughed. I went, sorry, dude. Bad timing. So later on, I'm trying to find out where there's a Walgreens because she wants some fucking hairspray. And I have to go up to this same guy and ask. I go, where's a Walgreens? He goes, oh, now you need me.
Good for him.
Yeah. I said, no, I don't fucking need you. I'll find it myself on my phone. Fuck you. He goes, I'm just kidding, man. What do you need? I went, I need a Walgreens.
No,
he goes, stat. He goes, going out, 3 minutes to the left, CVS, 2 minutes to the right. So we go outside, and we're walking to Walgreens, and this guy, this panhandler, goes to walk up to us, and I said, if you know what's good for you, you'll get the fuck away from us. He goes, ooh, tough man. And I went, I'm not even talking about me. She, like, shoves me in the shoulder like, you asshole. He goes, oh, she fight all your battles for you? I said, right now she does. I said, if you want some of that, go ahead. She'll beat the fucking shit out of you right here for GP. And she turns around and she goes, I will. So, of course, at this point, I'm having fun with her and poking the bear, you know? And
not you.
And I said, tell you what, tonight we go see a little bit of Sammy. I'll take you to dinner in a nice place, and we'll see what happens from there. She goes, nothing is going to happen from there.
Wow.
And I went, well, you know, we're in Vegas.
There's hookers everywhere.
And I said, it's 8 hours from now that this is going to happen, so you may feel differently. She goes, I won't.
Hookers.
She goes, 24 hours after they lose, don't bother.
Wow.
I went, okay. So I took her out and got her a little bit shit-faced, put some good food in her. I got what I needed.
You the man.
Yep. And it was her idea, too, which was great.
Well, good.
Yeah, it was nice.
But, it's nice to be appreciated.
But boy, oh boy, was she surly. She wouldn't even socialize with me on the way back. She was so pissed I took her out there for like 16 hours. And I couldn't help myself. I was just fucking with her the whole way. Like taking pictures of her with my phone. She goes, don't you fucking post that. I went, come on, it's funny. She goes, why are you in such a good mood? I'm like, because you're in such a bad one, and it's awesome.
And we're in Vegas.
Yeah.
There's hookers.
It's like I'm sitting next to this lady on the plane, and I need my charge cord. And I already asked her if I could get up once and get something else. So I said, excuse me, ma'am, can I get it? She goes, I went, I'm sorry I made you get up. I know that's not something you do a lot.
Nice. So you guys were just spunky this whole little trip, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
This little jaunt.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And as soon as we got home, what do I get? The cold she's had for 2 weeks.
High five.
Sore throat, runny nose, the whole gamut. I am miserable. What have we been on the air? 5 minutes? I'm through a half a box of Kleenex already.
Aw, Lexi Poo has post-nasal drip.
I have front nasal drip. It's really attractive, you know, when you take your chick out to lunch and snot's just running down your nose. And all you can think of is Jethro Tull. Snot running down his nose! And she's so young, she doesn't even know what the fuck that is, so you can't make a joke about it.
The best is, like, after, like, a day or two of the constant running is when your nose finally turns that bright red.
Yeah.
And then kind of starts cracking. So then you have to go, God, do I have to put Vaseline on my nose like I'm five or something, you know?
Yeah, I'm at the point now where it's starting to get a little raw and sore. And, you know, and I know this isn't stopping anytime soon. So, anyway, that was my weekend for the most part.
So have you ever gotten a hooker?
I watched this TV show last night. That was incredible.
Was it The Blacklist?
No. How to Get Away with Murder, actually. I've never gotten a hooker, but somebody tried to get me one.
Let me guess, it was out in L.A.?
Good guess.
Record guy.
Kind of, sort of.
And how did it not happen?
I wasn't attracted to her.
Well, so? She's got skills. She's a pro.
Nah, I can't do it. I am a snob. I am, you know, that's why I have a girlfriend 17 years younger than me.
Good.
You know, I'm just like, you know what? This time I'm getting what I want.
Says the man who's having the temper tantrum.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I mean, it's like her and I met by total accident and everything, and I know it's a cliche, but yeah, she's that much younger than me. So, no Jethro Tull references. I have to temper any kind of old references, really.
Doesn't that make you sad, though?
No.
Does she respond to Justin Bieber references?
No.
No. Well,
her time frame is very tight. You know, it's like she has like 18 years to draw off of.
Just her time frame, yeah. Lex.
Yeah, well, she has no kids, so she's pretty good there, too. She's really quite amazing. She really
is. It vibrates and rotates.
Oh, God, it's...
Does the dishes.
It's ridiculous. Sometimes when we're through, I just have to go, that thing, wow.
Hail to the V.
Yeah. She's like, thank you. I'm like, you bet.
And my tight vagina likes you, too.
Yeah. It does. I think she likes older dudes. It's what she seems to be attracted to, like on TV and movies and stuff like that. I think she just likes the sophistication or something.
Yes, because if I had one word to describe you, it would be sophisticated.
Well, compared to a 27-year-old backwards hat-wearing douchebag I am.
Yes. Yes.
Which is what she was with before.
Oh. Well.
After her marriage, you know, she did that for 3 or 4 years. She goes, that was all about the sex. I went, that's good. Because
God bless her.
I'm going to be a tremendous disappointment next to that. She goes, you're a lot funnier than he is. I went, well, that's sexy, isn't it? She goes, yes, it is. I said, you know, in the total scheme of points and everything, you know, how big is that category? She goes, not very big, actually. She goes, I'm not an extremely sexual person. She goes, I you know, which you kind of could have fooled me, but she's not one of these chicks, you know, that's like got to have it every day.
And that works out well with your post-menopausal thing, too.
I could go every day, actually.
Then let's conduct a test, yeah. A scientific experiment from now until the next podcast to have sex every day and then tell us all about it next podcast.
Fine. I'll have sex every day. It's her that won't.
And you need to both post everything, every detail on Facebook and Twitter.
I run it on her. I'm like, who's the old person in this relationship? Jesus Christ, spread those things.
And I can't believe she doesn't.
She does. She's good. She's the kind of chick you can say, look, I'm going on a road trip. I need a little something before I go. Just, you don't even have to take your clothes all the way off. She's like,
just bend over.
And she's like, I wasn't going to. Go ahead. And she turns around and smiles and goes, go ahead.
You just keep loading the dishwasher, honey.
Yeah. You know, it's all good. It's a good relationship.
Good.
Yeah. We got this right. We got this going in a good direction right now.
Good.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. I'm very happy for you.
It is. Because as you know, we hit some turbulence.
Which hopefully everyone will get to hear about at some point.
Yeah, I will say this. It was 99% my fault.
Okay.
I just didn't realize it. Because, well, I'll tell you later. But
I know.
Yeah.
You've told me, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And, Lex was a little lost for a while, okay? Let's go with that.
And now you've been found.
I've been found.
Praise Jesus.
And she's very happy, you know? She's like, I got my Lex back.
And it's a good thing.
Yeah. And I said, I've been the same guy the whole time. She's like, yeah, no. I'm like, okay, well, I am now. Because I took myself off everything.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. And I haven't dropped my phone once.
Even during sex.
That used to be a 7 or 8 time a day occurrence. Just be sitting there watching TV, holding my phone, and it'd fall out of my hand, and I'd fall asleep. Crazy.
Yes.
I thought I was fine.
Most people usually do in that situation.
Uh-huh, they do. And then, and she never, even, you know, when she took off, she didn't even say anything. She didn't say a word.
I know.
She was just going to let me figure it out for myself.
Which you didn't.
Yeah, I did, actually.
Well, sort of.
Yeah. Let's just say I would have.
If you'd had more time.
Yeah. But she's been completely forgiving and cool and thankful that she has the dude back she met to begin with.
Good.
Because as you know, I went through a pretty rough time for a couple of years through this divorce and everything. It was crazy.
Yes, you did.
Personally, financially, physically, professionally, personally, it was just fucking crazy.
It was.
And
you persevered.
I did. I came out on the other side as good as I went in.
Yes. Maybe if only everyone could do that.
Maybe even better.
I think better.
Yeah, me too. And I really will not take her for granted. She's going to get a completely devoted butt-end guy for her troubles.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I commend a man who can do that.
Well, I mean, it's either that or lose the best thing that ever happened to me, you know? It's one or the other. At some point, you got to suck it up and say, you've been kind of a fucked up douchebag.
Or you could just keep blindly going along your own douchey way without any, you know, thought to other people
or
anything.
Yeah, I thought about that. That could have been fun.
Yeah.
You know, there is an upside to that.
So I've been told.
Yeah. But I did that already 20 years ago. I don't need to do that anymore. I got to experience that already. Well, with a different lifestyle.
Yes.
So I'm good.
At least you haven't found Jesus.
No, I'm, you know what? Fuck that.
I agree.
You know, I'm very happy for anybody that does. And that's their salvation, and that's what works for them. But, you know, if I hear one more football player catch a touchdown pass and say, thank you, God, or thank you, Jesus, you know, like he put it into their hand themselves.
What irritates me is people who partake in, I don't know, deviant sex and then can't deal with the guilt and the frustration they feel when they find out certain things about themselves. Uh-huh. And they decide that, you know, they need Jesus in their life.
Yeah. You know, Jesus saw that thing up your ass.
And in your mouth.
Yeah. He forgives, but he doesn't forget.
No.
Okay. Glenda?
And I'm sure your new church girlfriend probably doesn't appreciate knowing where your mouth has been and now is on her.
No. Probably not.
No. But I'm sure he won't tell her that.
I had a church girlfriend once. It was like a Ren experience in Footloose.
Oh?
Oh, yeah. You know, it was like I was right out of high school and I was dating this girl. She had a twin sister, and their dad was a preacher, so I'd go to church with her on Sunday, you know, which she really wasn't a big church fan herself, but you know, it's her dad,
right?
And he pulls me into his office and tells me I'm gonna have to get a new living if I'm gonna hang out with his daughter.
Wow.
I said, I hate to tell you this, but I really don't make much of a living. Sir? I said, in which, since when was doing radio on the weekends and building surfboards satanic? I lost that. It's just crazy stuff, man. I've had a crazy life, Stacy.
You have, and I love that I'm part of it in a tiny little way.
I haven't had a normal fucking relationship with a chick until now.
And how does it feel?
Abnormal.
Will it be enough to get you through?
Yeah.
Good.
If it stays like it is now, God, yes.
Good. And everyone's deserving of that.
Yeah. I don't know what the future holds as far as long term, but right now things are really good, and we're both very happy.
Well, you are at an age where you should just be grateful for every day.
Thank you. And yet I'm not. So I guess I'm not that old yet, bitch.
It's like, oh, I woke up again. Yay.
That's I woke up again. Fuck. But hey, you know, it's I am grateful the way things are right now.
So hey, they're in Dallas with like the Ebola crap that's going on. Has anyone new gotten it?
No,
other than the two nurses.
No, but I got into a Facebook war last night with somebody that I was just so fucking annoyed by what they posted on there. It said Ebola, Obama's legacy to America.
I guess that means 9/11 and Katrina is George Bush's legacy.
Well, it is.
Well, yeah.
And I just wrote back to the person. I said, is this not the height of irresponsibility? Listen, I get it. You don't like him as a president. You're a right-wing Republican. I get it. You know, you're never going to like the guy. That's fine. But come on. Even I didn't pile on to George Bush for things that weren't his fault or his doing or he had any control over.
Right.
I just didn't. And I was pissed off when the guy threw the fucking shoe at him. I didn't like that happening to any of our presidents. Not cool. I wish
was it okay when he grabbed German Chancellor Angela Merkel? We're echoing. When he grabbed her shoulders and you know, rubbed her.
I don't care.
From one leader to another.
I don't give a shit. I mean, those guys make faux pas like that all the time. And, you know, people just analyze it and go back and look at it over and over again. They're just dudes that ran for president. They don't know what the fuck to do with these dignitaries or whatever. You know, they don't.
I know.
Some are better than others, but I really don't give a shit. He felt up the German chancellor or whatever. I don't give a fuck. I don't. You know,
what about the chewing with his mouth open?
I don't care about that either.
Okay.
The only thing I care about with him, if I have one criticism of him, and it's a big one, is not standing up to his father.
Or to Dick Cheney.
Well, Dick Cheney was there because of his father. That
right,
whole
he was running everything.
That whole cabinet was senior's cabinet.
Oh, I know. They're all oil people, too.
Uh-huh. I mean, that was his second chance. That was his second term he didn't get. You know, and that's the big problem I have with him. If he would have taken more control of shit and said, I'm the president, Dad. I'll appoint my fucking cabinet. Thanks. You had your turn. Get the fuck out of here. Go to Kenny Bunkport or wherever the fuck you go and be an old man. I got this.
Yes, I'll be in Crawford, Texas, clearing brush.
Yeah. Whatever the case is, I wish he would have stood up to his father more. Maybe he would have been a better president if he had. Because, you know, to everybody, if they're honest, you pull them in a room, Dick Cheney was running things.
Yes.
And not for our benefit.
No, it was all about Halliburton.
Uh-huh. And that's just how I, you know, I've calmed down about George Bush. You know,
I look forward to seeing more nudes of him in the bathroom that he's painted himself.
Yeah, I haven't seen those.
Well, there's not been nudes. But I think he's probably heading in that direction since he's like, he paints himself in the bathtub with like his knees and feet poking out of the water.
Yeah.
It's kind of odd.
Once again, I don't care. I mean, think about what these guys go through. It's like I told the person on Facebook last night. This guy wakes up at 6 in the morning and has an agenda of 72 things to go through before he lays his head on the pillow at 12 or 1 in the morning. And I don't think he has time to micromanage who gets on a fucking plane and comes to the United States.
Right.
That's just not the way it works. There isn't a buzzer that goes off in the White House. He goes, do, 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 Ebola, do, 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 do.
That'd be fun if there was, though.
And
I'd be setting it off all the time.
And they're like coming back with the Ebola czars, not even a medical person. I said, it shouldn't be a medical person. This is an organizational chess move type of position. This is stopping things from happening any further. That's not a doctor's job. That's an organizer's job. That is a coordinator's job.
And it's funny to me that these people who are scared to death of the Ebola and blaming Obama and everything, you know, there's been basically one death in the United States because of Ebola.
How can you blame Obama?
But, you know, how many people are dying from gunshots? You know, I know you don't want to go into the gun thing, but...
Oh, fuck no.
Come on. Let's get our priorities in order, people. Ebola's not going to get you. If you wash your hands and are a semi-clean person and aren't making out with cadavers that are, you know, oozing from every orifice, I think you're fine.
Yeah. So, the Ebola thing, man, is just the whole hate for Obama thing drives me crazy because the guy gets blamed for shit he has no control over.
Yes. Yes, well, he does.
Well, if he didn't let people into the country, this wouldn't happen. It's like, hey, if you're one of those Tea Party motherfuckers that believes in the Constitution, then read it real good, motherfucker, because it says all are welcome here.
There just seems to be a huge glut of hypocrisy from the right. You know, that's what gets me is if you're going to be mad about something, be mad. I respect your right and opinion on being mad about something, but be mad across the board. Be mad when your guy does it. Be mad when the other guy does it. Oh, but be mad about it all.
There's hypocrisy on the left, too, because they compromise with these motherfuckers all the time to keep them quiet. And that makes them a big bunch of pussies.
Yes.
So I got my problems with that, too. I'm not aligned with either side at this juncture.
Oh, I'm much more a Democrat than a Republican.
Not me.
Unfortunately, Republicans have become the Jesus Party. And that bugs me. It bugs me that they sit there and scream about how the Muslims are trying to get us and everything. And it's like, you know, you're electing people who are trying to work biblical Christian law into, you know, governing everybody who does not necessarily subscribe to that same thought.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yes.
And people don't realize it.
But it's okay because, you know, if you're a Christian, it's okay to have everyone be ruled by your law. But don't you dare, you know, make the nasty Muslims, you know, affect my life at all. But they don't care that their Christianity might be affecting the lives of many people who aren't Christians.
I like the fact they call him a Muslim.
I know.
Just because his name sounds Muslim.
It's a scary name.
Listen, he's a mulatto dude from Hawaii. He's a mixed, okay? He's Derek
Jeter. And for all the birthers out there, for the birthers, I'm just going to say, if you've got the Koch brothers, you've got Donald Trump, you have all of Mitt Romney himself, all these people with billions of dollars at their disposal. If there was a Kenyan birth certificate to be found anywhere in this world, these guys have the money. They would have found it already.
That's right.
So get over it.
That, and he's 3/4 of the way through his term.
Yes.
That ship has sailed. At this point, if you do find a different birth certificate, you should shut the fuck up about it and just let him finish out.
And then write a book and make millions.
Yeah. Because that's a hell of a getting over when you're being vetted by the CIA and the, you know, Homeland Security and everything else.
I don't know, because once again, I don't think McCain's people vetted Sarah Palin too well.
Well, they admit to not vetting her very well. They basically vetted her in 4 days, if the movie about that stands true.
Oh, God. I will always hold her against him.
Yeah.
I actually don't mind the man, but he brought us Sarah Palin, and I will forever and always hate him for it.
No, and he knows it. He knows that she's going to be attached to his name, which you know, kind of sucks when you spent 5 years in a prisoner of war camp in Vietnam and ascended your way through the Senate to almost being president a couple times. And,
I know.
And you're going to be known as the guy that brought cancer into the party.
As I said, I would have almost considered him. It was just his age, and then he brought her out there, and it was like, oh, my God.
Because you bring, you know, Boehner or any of those guys into a room and ask him them about her, they'll go, yeah, get her the fuck out of here.
Everyone in Washington thinks, and I mean openly say, that she and her family are just white trash.
Yeah. Because they are.
Yeah. I mean, fight in Alaska.
Yeah.
What a great read that is, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the whole thing and knocking up the daughter and the whole, that's just fucking amazing. But I don't know if you ever saw the HBO movie about that campaign I'm trying to think of it. The guy in the Truman Show, Ed Harris, played McCain.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
I find him so attractive, and I don't know why. I always have.
Yeah, and he's a good looking guy. That's probably why. And Julianne Moore was amazing as Sarah Palin.
I remember that. I didn't see it, but I remember the news when she was doing that.
You must see it. It's probably on Netflix or something. She was tremendous. And it talks about how at the end, how she kind of recognized she had a little bit of power and went for it. And McCain and the campaign manager just cut her off at the waist.
Good.
When she said she was going to go out and give a consolation speech after losing the election, they just said, you're nobody. He's the presidential candidate. He'll give the consolation speech.
Well, that, and then recently, because she has that channel, it's like an online channel or something, and like once a week she does like a little video so you can, I wish. And there was one just like, late summer, early fall, where she was drunk or something. I have not seen it. I only read the transcripts. But she was all over the place. And she's mocked Obama for using a, what you call it? The teleprompter.
Yeah.
And so she won't use them. And her people should be insisting that she does, because she was all over talking about the fast food people and church and Satan, and it's not the devil to eat veggie burgers, and I'd have no idea what she was. It was just like, oh my God.
I'd be such an asshole president. I'd be like, you know why I use a teleprompter, honey? Because I talk about really important shit because I'm the president. So I want to make sure I got this right, because I'm reading this to all the Americans who elected me. You are on the outside looking in.
I have never understood why you don't see politicians doing that. When someone very pointedly, you know, does something or says something that is very untrue about you, why can't you get out there in front of a microphone and say, you know, so-and-so, you know, you're an asshole, and here's why. I know they can't say asshole, but why can't you call out people directly?
I don't know. Obama does. Obama does. He's done it many times.
Has he?
Yeah. Oh, God, the correspondence dinner? He, like, saves everything for that.
Well, I know, but I'm talking about when it actually happens at a press conference. Just coming out and saying, you know, dumbasses, this is why we're doing it this way. And we can't do it this way because so-and-so insisted on putting, you know, $32 million worth of pork into this so that you guys up there in Wisconsin can get a roller coaster. This is why the rest of the world isn't getting this.
Do you know he actually told his staff that he wanted like Jeffrey Ross and a couple of other guys that do the real roast to write for him? Could you imagine? This is the same guy that looked at Courtney Love and the Pamela Anderson roast and said, you still don't look better than Kurt Cobain.
I think that the Stephen Colbert during George Bush's was the best.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
It was like, what are you people thinking? Do you not see the show?
Colbert's so awesome.
Remember the beginning when he was first on doing his show? So people didn't, I guess, really know him. And he used to talk to those senators and representatives and stuff. And people were still, they finally stopped. No one would sit down with him anymore after that Wexler guy from Florida was talking about cocaine and hookers.
Yeah.
And it was like, again, did you not read or figure out who this person is before you agreed to sit down to an interview with him?
Yeah, I mean, Jon Stewart and Colbert and those guys, they're the only decent spokespeople for the party that are left.
Yes.
You know, and even they rail over Democrats at times. They just rail over stupid.
Right.
And there's plenty of it to go around.
Yes, there is.
But I just have a problem with people posting shit on Facebook that's just, you know, beyond the ridiculous.
That's why I got rid of my personal Facebook account. I realized that apparently everyone I went to high school with decided to become a Republican.
I don't care if somebody's a Republican. What I do care about is when I ask you to stop as a friend, it's like, don't send that shit to me.
Right.
I don't want to see it. I won't send it to you. You don't send it to me. Obviously, we're on different sides of the road here on how we see things. That's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. It is America, but don't send it to me.
I think it was Facebook actually that made me, I don't consider myself political, but I've become, I guess, more outspoken about my political feelings and leanings because of Facebook. And it was like all this crap just constantly in my face. And it's like, finally, I'm finding myself, I feel like I have to defend some of the stuff that's just lies. And then that's the other thing, too, is you see these people who are posting things about, you know, it's just wrong. It's like you are factually wrong on everything you just posted. I was just, I have to stop this.
So this guy last night, let me rewind this back.
Okay.
This guy last night sees my discussion with this woman on Facebook, which basically was about the Ebola thing for a minute, and then basically about the first lady trying to make the diets for kids better. So I wake up to, let's count here, I think 7 or 8 tweets. And the first one says, "Hey, ass clown, caught your rant against the Obama disliker. You need to get the facts and shut the F up. The people didn't elect him. Both were rigged elections."
Can I just say?
So, no.
Let me
tell you what I said, and then you can have your 2 cents. Let me read this whole thing here, and then you and I will tee off on this. That's a proven fact with voter fraud. I'm sorry.
I've never heard such a thing.
I've never heard that either. Fact, Obama is the most unpatriotic person here. He hates America. That's a fact, he says. That's also fact. You already said it was a fact. Now you're being redundant. He's on record saying America should be a third world country.
I've never heard that.
I've never heard him say that either.
Not saying that he hasn't, but I guess I would have heard if he was.
Also, he and the Democrats are trying to take from you your livelihood by destroying how this nation is, not following the laws he swore to uphold. It's your freedoms he's destroying. Wake up, jackass. You give loyalty to your country always, but your leaders when they've earned it. I don't even know what that means. Obama has killed the nation. Get off the radio, open up a book, and read how this great nation was created. You'll see questioning our leaders is not only permissible, but our daily duty as citizens.
Well, first of all, douchebags, I see you all still have your guns. I haven't seen Obama coming door to door to collect your guns personally.
No,
so you still have that. But meanwhile, you've got places like, what, Alabama and Texas and stuff, where it's becoming harder and harder for a woman to have a legal abortion.
Right.
Yeah, that's still there, but you have to travel, you know, hundreds of miles to be able to get to it. And it is part of, you know, the law that women can do this. But it is the Republicans and the conservatives and the Christians that are taking these rights away in their own way. So, you know what? To everyone who's saying Obama's taking your rights away, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you hard.
Yeah, by the way, that's being done on a state level. He has nothing to do with it.
But it's still Republicans.
Yeah, but I'm just saying he has nothing.
I know.
He has nothing
but
to... Listen, no president touches abortion once they're in office. You people,
no.
If you don't realize that, I want you to go back. I want you to go back 50 years and find me a president that's commented on abortion while he's in office. You will not find a soundbite or a piece of paper on it anywhere. Once they get in office, they're like, fuck you. I don't need your abortion bullshit anymore. I'm not doing it.
Right.
I'm not messing with it. It doesn't mean shit to run the country. So there. So anyway, he finishes with, he says, our lead... is permissible in our duty as citizens. You have good points at times, but you're dead ass wrong on this. Sheep like you, blindly following bad leaders, got us here. Take an honest look around and you'll see the evil Obama is to this country. Nothing is better in the nation since he took office, since he stole office. You better wake up to the truth. I don't think he brought Ebola here, but he sure as hell hasn't protected this nation from it. Check the voting. It was rigged.
It was rigged. I would say the thing that makes me think it could be rigged was because, look at, do you remember how absolutely certain Mitt Romney was that he was going to win?
Yeah.
The man was floored that he didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
I would believe that he thought that he was, you know, I if you're going to look at, I've never heard that. Everyone talks about, you know, Bush's election with Al Gore. That came right down to, you know,
so,
Supreme Court.
So after this tremendous rant, I wrote back, Catherine Harris, hashtag hanging Chad. There's your rigged election, asshole.
Yes.
That's the only one I know about. Sorry. And don't be mad at the Democrats because they figured out what you were doing in polling states and they went behind your back and fixed it.
Yes.
So that's not rigging an election. That's putting it back the way it was. Okay? After all, keeping old people in the nursing home so they can't vote isn't a good thing.
Here in Michigan... we had just in the last month, it was on the state level, I believe, some Republicans sent out a mailer, you know, and of course trashing the Democrat who was running for whatever. And in the mailer, in big letters, it says, you know, let him know how unhappy you are with such and such. I don't remember what it was for, but big, there's a phone number to call. And if you call that number, it was the actual phone ringing at the bedside of his mother who was in hospice.
Wow.
Yeah. Good one.
That's dirty.
Republicans. Oh, yes. So the woman's, you know, in hospice, which means, folks, she's dying. And she gets to field phone calls. I hate politics. I hate the dirtiness of it.
Yep.
They said it was a mistake, but how do you accidentally get this guy's mother's hospice phone?
It's not a mistake. You're a fuckhead. And that's the politics I don't care to see on either side.
Nope.
That is just shit you can't live with yourself for.
But I think they can because I think they're soulless.
No, in the end, and this happens to everybody, Stacey, and you'll realize when you're my age why it does. You start softening on things. you realize that there are certain times of your life you were a complete fucking douchebag. And you want to fix it.
Right.
You want to make that phone call or write that letter or whatever the case is to whoever it is you wronged and say, took me a while to get it, but I was a fucking asshole. I hope you'll forgive me. I am never going to get over what happened to you because of me. And I'm sorry. And I've written that. I've made that phone call and written that letter to three people.
I was going to say, I'm waiting for my letter from your partner.
Yeah. Good luck.
I know. I think he might be the exception to your thoughts there.
No, he's you know, questioning things, you know?
You're so uncomfortable right now.
Not at all. Whatever.
Okay, back to the hooker that you didn't fuck.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, tell us. Set the story up. How far did you go? Did you touch her at all?
No.
Did you get a hand job at least?
No, I opened up the door and I went, I think you're at the wrong room. Because there is an infamous person with me that I knew would order one.
Did she pull out a receipt and say, no, I'm sorry, this is the right room and you're the right guy?
Well, she goes, are you Lex? And I went, mm-hmm. She goes, I'm in the right place, baby. I went, who did this for me or to me? And she goes, oh, she goes, we don't need to talk about that. I went, we kind of do.
Was the first initial of his first name T?
I'm not saying.
Is it someone I've met?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure if you've met them or not. One of the people involved is deceased.
Oh.
And hopefully in heaven.
Hooker heaven.
Because he had his playful side, but he was a good motherfucker. His heart was in the right place. Sometimes his dick wasn't, but his heart certainly was. Anywho. What about you, Stacy? You ever had a male prostitute?
Not knowingly.
Not knowingly.
Well, if I did, it would be kind of your situation, except I didn't realize or find out.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
All mine's been gotten the hard way. The sweat off my back. Out on the prowl.
Yeah, well, you know, your little moneymaker's done wonders for us.
Nice. You know, I still to this day never got that. I don't know why that happened.
Oh, you saved it. You absolutely saved it because it was going to be a disaster. We already had a golf cart wreck at the golf course that day. I looked over at him and I went, well, listen, thanks for coming down. You know, and I know you have a plane to catch. He goes, oh, no, I drove down here. I'm going to hang out with you guys tonight. I'm like, oh, okay. Next thing I know, he's at a bar talking to you. Next thing I know, nobody's around. And I looked at Terry and I went, this may not be over.
How much money did I make you guys?
He only had us on for like a year, so, you know, 25 grand maybe.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Can you write me a letter of recommendation?
I sure can. So, you know, it's like the cool part was you didn't realize who it was you were talking to.
No, I was trying to forget.
Yeah.
Other things.
Yeah. Yeah, this was kind of a rebound situation for you.
Yes.
And but it was funny because we were like, I think Stacy's going to fuck that guy and save us for us. Either that or she's going to do a bad job fucking him and we're going to be where we were to start with. So it's fine.
I took one for the team.
Then Monday, I was like, so
how
was
your,
I was like, so how was your night with Stacy? And he goes, she's a very nice girl. I think we're ready to do business. I went, yes, aren't we?
You know, and I didn't realize it was like, I don't remember how long afterwards being on the show with you guys. And one day you just kind of just looked at me and said, I just wanted to thank you for getting
us an affiliate.
Yes.
with your moneymaker. So, which is actually a moneymaker.
I was like, Terry's just looking at me. And I was just like, oh my God.
I went, you're the first employee I can think of that's paid for themselves.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm self-sufficient.
Yeah. I said, you will never get fired as financially efficient as you are. I was wrong about that, too.
You were.
Yeah. God, I'm wrong a lot. I've been finding this out.
You are.
I am. I'm just fucking wrong all the time. It's part of my charm.
Well, hey, the buzzer went off like a few minutes ago.
Yeah, we need to finish this up. I want to thank Drew Hillis at DBC, as always, for making sure we have LT2, all the great shows on there, and, of course, the Threesome Podcast, which we'll be back with next week.
Yes.
Have yourselves a good one. Bye, Stacy.
Bye, Lexi Poo.